This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. You are listening to TSN 1050. The show is always brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams and sports on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And it is... There is some really good games tonight, and not just the Leafs and the Blackhawks. Actually, it's just a great night if you're a sports fan. For people lamenting, oh, football is done. Well, fear not, because let's think about what we got. You got the Leafs, they've been back in action. Feels like, have they played? When was the last time they played? Like, seriously, I can't remember. Oh, wait, yes, the weekend, Columbus, yeesh. But it's also the return of Austin Matthews. So you got that on one level. And then there's the Patrick Kane. Is he going to get traded? Is he not? Is he coming here? What's going on? And then later on in the evening, if you are also a basketball fan, and if you're not, that's fine. If you are, fantastic. Much like your stocks or your emotions, it's good to diversify. You've got the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets. And this is two of the top four guys for the MVP, Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic. A lot of itch. Feels like a finals in a tennis match. So that is going on as well. So a lot to get into on the show today. Also, and it's been years since we've done this. Every couple years, TSN likes to do headshots of all the on-air personalities, whether it be radio, TV, bar down. So I had to do that today. And there's nothing I am more miserable at than standing there and saying, hey, we got to take your photo. I'm good with if it's like on live TV or film or things like that or stage. But what I don't like is when I'm just standing there getting my photo taken. I know I'm not alone. I know that's very similar to a lot of people out there. But when my photo's getting taken and they got all the cameras and the lights and it's very professional, I stop breathing and I start counting down from 20 because I just want every photo to be done. And it's like, okay, can we see your teeth? I'm like, I don't want to smile with my teeth. Can you give us more energy with your smile? I'm like, I can't. I'm a loud, gregarious individual, but when you get a camera going, then I am miserable. Like, text us at 105050. How are you for the family photos, vacation photos, you and your partner, selfies on vacation? There's a reason if you go to MCause56, you'll see no photos of me or my face. My avatar is a doc. If you go to my Instagram account, I think it's Matthew Cause. Honestly, I don't go there much except for wine stuff. You won't find pictures of me. Maybe my hand holding a glass of wine because I'm a world-class D-bag, but I don't like photos of me. But producer Josh, that's what I was doing in the 12 o'clock hour today.
Just getting ready for the photo of yourself. Like,
yeah.
Did you have to get all the angles? Like,
oh, yeah.
Pose
yes.
this way,
yes.
Put your arms that way.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, okay, can we move it on a little bit? Like, I cannot hold my arm for this long.
Move your back, but move your face a little forward, your chin down a bit, and it's all these things. And my favorite, and by the way, they're all good. The photographers, everyone involved, is very professional, very nice. And they at one point, there's a screen, a digital screen that has all the pictures of me, and they're like, do you want to see what you look like? I'm like, no, absolutely not. It's like the few times we ever do a pre-tape interview around here. I don't want to hear my voice. Just like I don't want to see what I look like. And my favorite is you know, they take like 38 photos, and then I hear someone go, oh, that one looks good. And I'm like, huh, so the first 37 photos are horrible, weren't they? And they're like, no. And they say the line. No, silence means we like it. I'm like, you're lying.
You're lying to me right now. Like, what was in between my teeth or what was on my face while I was taking that photo?
Awkward. What's on my face is awkward. It's always awkward. And I'm fine with it. I think in life, it's also important. Here's a little life lesson for everyone out there. Know your strengths, know your weaknesses. And there's all those people out there, all they do is bash themselves. And like my girlfriend does that as well. It's ridiculous. And I always say, if you want to put yourself down, if you want to say, I'm bad at this, great, go ahead, do that. But then you need to balance it with something you're good at. So you have to say, okay, I'm proud of this. I like this about myself. I'm good at this. So, you know, I told him, I don't mind. I don't look good. I'm not a good-looking person. I am comfortable with that. I know what mirrors look like. I know what I look like in a mirror. I'm fine with it. And I can list the things I'm good at. Super Bowl trivia. I can assess a Pinot Noir from France versus one from Sonoma. I do have some skills. I haven't been in a traffic accident. I pick up after myself. And I'm generally a neat person.
Yeah, you have a large skill set and a collection of interest that you like, and photos really aren't your one. Like,
no.
On the topic of photography, like, do you know when you're at like a Canada's Wonderland or an amusement park?
Yeah.
And there's those fellows that stand there and with a camera in front of your face, like, here, take this for $5. And I'm like,
no.
Man, I just want to walk through the amusement park.
Yeah.
I do not want a photo right now. And then they start taking it. Like, well, I start seeing a flash. I'm like, that is out of pocket. That is not allowed anymore, and I'm not giving you your $10.
Oh, no. Or the same thing with the roller coaster. When you get off the roller coaster, and if you bid on it, I go on them all the time, because as a professional uncle in Peter Pan, I'm a child. But I know exactly where the camera is on Behemoth, on Leviathan, on all the roller coasters.
You know the spot, like...
I know exactly where it is,
yes. Put your tongue out there, hands up there.
Yep. All right, let's get into the show. The Raptors beat the Magic 123-113, and I want to talk about, we'll get into the Jakob Poeltl conversation, and this is the last Raptors game before the All-Star break. They're three games under 500 about the Raptors and all about Poeltl, but not about betting on Poeltl, but betting on the guys around him. We'll do that in a moment, but this Leafs-Blackhawks game is fascinating on two very different levels, and that's the subject of today's opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Yep, Leafs playing Chicago tonight. Let's do a game preview. Let's do a small picture and a much, much bigger picture. First, let's focus on just tonight. If you want to do some bets out there, tonight is crazy. The Leafs are now -610 on FanDuel. That is the biggest favorite of the season in the entire league. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. When the Leafs played Montreal back on January 21st, they were -358. Now they're -610. Tonight, you're going to have Tampa against Arizona. Tampa is clearly a far better team than Arizona. Tampa's playing great. And yes, I know it's back-to-back for them. Tampa's -250. The Leafs are -610. For people who don't know what that jargon means, that means you've got to bet $610 to win $100. You got to bet $61 to win $10. We don't see spreads like this. And we've only had two lines in the -500s. And by the way, both of them were the Leafs. A game against Arizona, they lost. And a game against... there was one other. Anaheim. Anaheim and Toronto won that 7-0. Okay, you know what? Here's the best way to put in perspective how much you, the better, love betting on the Maple Leafs. The best team in hockey is the Boston Bruins. Far and away, the best team, the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins have never been -500 or more as a favorite in a hockey game this year. The Leafs have bet it three times. -610. That is nuts. Do you know the odds of Austin Matthews, who makes his return tonight, to score a goal is -128. To put in that perspective, Connor McDavid is only -124. So Vegas is telling you that the guy who is leading the NHL in goals scored, Vegas, FanDuel, the books are telling you there's a better chance that the NHL league leader in goals scored, he does not have as good a chance to score a goal tonight as Austin Matthews. So on a minor level, on the smaller picture, this game is wild from a betting perspective. But now let's zoom out, shall we? And let's focus a little bit on the Chicago Blackhawks and how it relates to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And when you watch the Blackhawks tonight, and when I watch them tonight, here's my first message. Don't screw this up, Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan. Because the Blackhawks right now are in hell. Go on The Athletic, go on any hockey site. Every story about the Blackhawks is who's getting traded and when. That's it. That's the only story out there. You know, Jonathan Taves went in the season telling The Athletic he was excited to prove everyone wrong and prove himself right. They could still play an 82-game season at a high level. After he had a career-low 37 points last year. Well, not happening this year for him as well. See, the Blackhawks, they've not made the playoffs since 2017. In 18 and 19, they got career years from Kane, Taves, and Alex DeBrincat. I don't know why I like to say it like that. So individually, they got all these great seasons from these individuals, and they finished with the second worst record in the Central Division and 12th worst in the NHL. And the reason I say don't screw this up, Dubas and Shanahan, is because for as bad as things have been in Chicago, at least they have the Stanley Cups. They won it in 10, in 13, in 15. They haven't won a playoff round since. They've not made the playoffs in the last five seasons. Last 5 years, every year, they finished sixth or seventh. But you see, that's the price you gotta pay for winning it all. You know how hard it is to win and win and win, take a bit of a dip and then get back up again? And hell, even the Penguins, they don't have a really good record of postseason success the last 8, 9 years, and they're barely hanging on now. But you see, they did it with that core of Kane, Taves, Duncan Keith, Patrick Sharp, Marian Hossa, Brent Seabrook. All of them played 100 or more playoff games with Chicago. And the Leafs, they got their core as well. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Morgan, Riley. But the difference is Chicago got it done and they won three cups. The Maple Leafs have done nothing. That's why I don't feel bad for Chicago, even though they're feeling pain. Kirby Doc starting to really put it together with Montreal. He's 22 years old, already has a career high, 35 points, and there's still plenty of time left. He's not a star, but he can end up being a damn good second-line center. Either way, bye-bye to him. You traded Alex DeBrincat. He could go back to 40 goals. Why? Because you're in rebuild hell mode. You had to get rid of so many good players over the years, the Dustin Bufflins, because you had a salary cap you were up against because you had really talented players, and you're paying the piper. And again, every story is about them being a trade target and core pieces. It's not about them winning or the future, at least not the future of the next 3 to 5 years. And see, this is what I worry about the Leafs' future. Is that the Leafs' future could look like what the Blackhawks are now. Aging stars, older players, bloated contracts, tons of draft picks, trade everyone away, pain, pain, pain. It's like, remember Mike Babcock said, we're going for pain. Well, the Blackhawks had pain before, then they had nothing but glory, and they're back to pain, but they had glory. Maple Leafs might get it done. They got the talent for it. But when I see the Blackhawks coming into town, I still have one thought. Dubas and Shanahan, don't screw this up. Last thing Leaf fans want is to look like 2023 Blackhawks without getting what happened in 10, 13, and 15. And that is my opening thought.
I'm finished.
You know, you look at the team over the years, built with forwards, top-heavy team. And then every couple of years, they had to get rid of someone because couldn't afford them. But then they still ended up winning another cup in 2015. And ever since then, the party's been over. But at least they had a party. We've been promised a great party. And we've been entertained in the regular season. But we've never really been given a good party in this city.
No, we've been, as fans, as Maple Leafs fans, have been promised spectacles. Have been promised that this team is willing to take the next step. We're adding the veteran pieces to match the younger pieces on the team. They've added goaltending. The difference of what the Chicago Blackhawks had was a Jonathan Taves, a Patrick Kane, a Brandon Saad, a Duncan Keith, a Patrick Sharp. The list goes on. And in the heyday of winning three cups in as many years, they were a dynasty in the NHL. After that, it started to trickle down. They lost a first round.
Yep.
They lost another first round. The lineup started to get shaved a little bit. So it's hard to put the comparison to the Blackhawks and Maple Leafs when the Maple Leafs haven't reached the hardware that the Blackhawks have, but rosters are pretty similar. And when you want to relate to tonight's game, this is a really bad Blackhawks team. Like,
yes,
they have no sights in winning right now.
No. Back to back.
That's it. Back to back.
Third game in five nights. They just lost, I think, 4-0 to Montreal. They lost 4-1 to Winnipeg. This is a horrible, horrible team. But they're in the natural life cycle of especially in a league with a hard cap.
Yeah.
This is the cycle of it. It's you get a bunch of years when you can be great. If you draft well, develop well, get lucky with not only health, but getting a high pick in the right years when you get a chance where it's not about drafting Puljujärvi, it's a chance of drafting Marner. Like, you know, when you get those good years. So they're now in the bad period. But if you're a Blackhawks fan, you're like, yeah, we still got those titles. And with, like, I was thinking what to do for my opening thought, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the Blackhawks. My first thought was, oh, management, don't screw this up, because it could happen.
They can't, and that's a focus tonight.
Yeah.
All eyes are going to be on 88. that's our storyline walking in saying, is there the true opinion that he wants to be in this city, that he wants to mesh with this team? He has the friendship with Austin Matthews, who is back tonight, and he's going off against the Blackhawks, to say it bluntly. 17 points in 10 career games against the Blackhawks. Lights them up every time he's in. We were talking about it before the show. Maple Leafs had a -610 favorite, but
that's insane.
How is Matthews tonight? Like, how is
I don't know.
He feeling?
Listen, I'm sure he's feeling great because the Leafs are always very good at being cautious. They are a very conservative lot when it comes to bringing someone back from injury. I placed a $5 bet on the Blackhawks. $5. That's it. That'll win me $22. And by the way, if I'd waited an hour, I would have gotten, I think the odds would have been even better for me. I got it at +440.
Everything's pointing towards the Maple Leafs direction. Peter Mrazek, former Maple Leaf.
Yeah.
Between the pipes tonight for the Blackhawks.
So revenge game. Mrazek revenge game. It's coming.
We were talking about this months ago, and you mentioned in your opening thought, when a team that has minimal amount of wins, that's just a building, emerging roster, they come into Toronto and they have a lot to play for. So it's not a bad bet to place your money on the Blackhawks, but Maple Leafs are the more dominant and
yes, of course they are. They're the team. They're the far better team in every respect. There's a reason why they're a favorite. I hedged it. I did another bet.
Okay.
There was five teams tonight that are favored by at least -200. I parlayed them all five of them. So the Rangers, the Sabres, the Oilers, the Lightning, and the Leafs all got to win. I bet that at $5 as well. That pays me just over $20. So I'm doing a bit of a hedge tonight. We'll see how it all plays out.
Absolutely.
All right. On the other side, let's get a little bit into the Raptors, what we saw last night, and the Jakob Poeltl effect. I'm not talking about his 30 points. I'm talking about the environment around him, and I'll explain that in a moment. I'm Matthew Cause. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050.
What a pass! Barnes on a laser! I mean, you could hang your laundry on that one. A straight line to Poeltl for the throwdown.
Keep in mind, right, there was some pressure full court. Didn't phase him at all. And like you said, threading that needle right to Poeltl.
Excellent call by the crew here at TSN 1050. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. You are listening. I just said Gameplay. You're listening to TSN 1050. I could have switched those around. I felt like Austin Matthews. Allow myself to introduce myself. So the Raptors beat the Orlando Magic 123-113. And by the way, yesterday on this I was hating myself yesterday because I placed a goofy bet on the Boston Celtics that were without everyone.
Out.
Yeah. Which was the right call, but I bet like $4.34 on the show yesterday for the Celtics to beat the Bucks and Orlando to beat Toronto, and $4 and whatever would have paid me like $53. And then we find out that not only is Tatum out, or not only is Jaylen Brown out, but Jason Tatum wasn't going to play. No one was playing for the Celtics, so I cowardly cashed out of that $4.34 bet. The Boston Celtics were leading by 14 late in the third quarter. That Raptor Magic game was close for a lot of last night. The Bucks had only a 2-point lead with 90 seconds left in the game, and Boston had possession. I am watching those games going, please, God, do not let Boston and Orlando win, because then I cashed out on what would have been a great hero win for me.
It was close, yeah. Celtics were up. The Magic were up throughout the game. So you could have hedged. You could have looked at it saying, I could take a little bit of money right now. And then, as we heard right there, Jakob Poeltl puts up a 30-piece to lead the Raptors to the win. And then, wow, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He just keeps doing it.
Every game just keeps doing it. The Raptors shoot 60%. The reason they shot 60% is because Jakob Poeltl went 15 of 17. That's ridiculous. Fred VanVleet shot like 3 of 12, and the team shot 60%. And Poeltl finished with 9 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 1 steal. The Raptors, they are now 9th. So in the play-in, they're tied with the Wizards, but the Wizards are only going to go down. The Raptors should get better. They are a game and a half back of Atlanta. They're still 4 games back of the Knicks and 4.5 back of the Heat for 6. By the very least, they go into the All-Star break with a nice, impressive win. My thought from a betting perspective from last night was, I wonder if, like, when Poeltl is, especially if you know Poeltl is starting, do you bet the overs for other members of the Raptors in terms of assists? Their assist total. Fred VanVleet had 15. Scottie Barnes and Siakam both had 6. And especially the Scottie Barnes. Like, and what you saw was Poeltl just made life easier for he made life easier for the half-court offense. And we're not going to see that again all year. But at the very least, he presents a very different target, where just get him the ball when he's in close, and he has enough wherewithal around the basket that, he's got enough moves where he's comfortable enough where he can score like that. Like, that just, he looks so comfortable. And almost every one of those 15 made baskets, of those 15 made baskets, 12 were assisted on by one of those three guys. I think Malachi Flynn had one.
Yeah, shocking stat. I don't know if you saw it there, Matty. It was the Raptors are 13-0. When they shoot 60% or more all time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to give credit to Jakob Poeltl. Pascal Siakam, after the game, was posed a question. They asked him, what side of the court does Jakob Poeltl benefit most? And he says, both. You firstly saw what he did on the offensive end. It took a little bit for him to mesh. It took a couple games, but all of a sudden, he pulls out what he did in San Antonio and score. Puts up a career high for the Raptors, and they were feeding him. And then, especially, you were talking about the assists. There's guys like Scottie Barnes that you can maybe chip into a couple assists here and there in the pick and roll. Fred VanVleet, you saw they established that when Jakob Poeltl was here back a couple years ago before he got traded. That was another key aspect. And it also benefits Pascal Siakam in a way. Meaning, if defenders such as like a Joel Embiid, such as a Giannis Antetokounmpo, need to defend the higher-ups, meaning the taller players on the Raptors, you know Pascal Siakam's going to get to his spots and get to the ball and shoot the ball from three a lot more. And we saw him do that last night as well.
Yep.
So there's the willingness to shoot not only around the court, but feed Poeltl because he can grab rebounds and he can eventually score. And we saw it last night.
Yeah, I think when you see nights of like Barnes, the assist total is they have it at 3.5 on FanDuel, take the over. Because there's going to at least be a couple, there's easier assist opportunities when Jakob Poeltl is on the court. So just something to consider. On the other side, Pete Jensen's going to join us, a senior fantasy editor at the NHL Network. And do not worry. This isn't going to be, how's your fantasy team? Here's my fantasy team. I got questions like, what's the gap between Connor McDavid and David Pastrnak in terms of fantasy? What did you have Jacob Markstrom ranked at the beginning of the year versus now? Did you ever think Erik Karlsson would be the number one defenseman in the NHL? We'll get into that in just a moment. I'm Matthew Cause. You'll listen to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. And what I like about talking about fantasy hockey is never about, oh, so, you know, do you think this guy's going to, you know, how high do you got this guy in your team and how's your fantasy team doing and all that. I like talking about fantasy hockey because it actually allows you to assess what is going on in the NHL. You just do it through the lens of fantasy hockey, but it's really just a hockey conversation. And join us now to get into all of that, Director Senior Fantasy Editor at NHL.com. It is Pete Jensen. Pete, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, and definitely echo what you're saying. I mean, there's no better way to get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on with lines around the league and production trends and everything like that than fantasy puck talk. So yeah. Appreciate you having me on.
100%. Well, let's start here. I looked at the odds, and the odds will tell you that Austin Matthews has a better chance of scoring tonight than the guy who leads the NHL in goals scored in Connor McDavid. Is this simply just a thing that there are more Toronto fans and they just all want to bet on Austin Matthews to score in his return tonight against, I know against a very bad Blackhawks team, but I was shocked when I, and it's close, but I was shocked when I saw the odds slightly favored Matthews over McDavid.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, whenever you have that narrative, a lot of people flock to it, whether it's a guy returning from injury, a guy in his first game with a new team. Like, perfect example of that was Tarasenko last week. Everybody was all over that one. Whether you're covering fantasy or betting on hockey, you know, everybody was on him to score. And, of course, he scores in the first 3 minutes. And then, of course, there are those revenge narratives when a guy's facing his former team for the first time. You saw that hit the other day when Beauvillier and Horvat were both playing each other, right? That was like a great storyline there. So, yeah, I think those type of narratives are where hockey betting can be fun, and DFS and fantasy, that's the best part about watching hockey is when you have those type of storylines, right?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. And listen, we are all, so many of us are suckers for it. Sometimes we just bet on the narrative because it's fun. And my message for people out there, I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but just make it $2 or $3. Don't put the serious money on that.
For sure.
From a fantasy perspective, what is the gap? How large is the gap between Connor McDavid and the number two forward, David Pastrnak, versus David Pastrnak and whoever you got at number three?
Yeah, I think Drysdale's in that conversation as well. He's really proven over the years that he's the number two fantasy pick in a redraft league, you know, that type of thing. But the gap is widening for sure, whereas a couple of years ago you could have had an honest debate, you know, with Nathan MacKinnon, like if he were to put together a full season, which he has still not been able to, you could have matched up the production trends and the points per game averages and said, had a fair debate there, but it's case closed now. McDavid has been incredible, like you said, with his goal scoring this year compared to years past, giving him another layer and another reason why it's not even a contest anymore. So yeah, it's pretty amazing to see. For years, we were always having those debates about MacKinnon or Matthews or Alex Ovechkin when he was covering, you know, some of those key standard categories like shots on goal and power play points and hits and also goals. But right now, it's McDavid's world and we're living in it. And the only question there is, can he get over the hump this year, get to the Stanley Cup final, and maybe even hoist the trophy? That's all that matters for McDavid at this point in time in his career and his legacy.
Yeah, I love the fact that he just woke up and was like, you know what, this year, screw it. This year I'll just lead the league in scoring as well. That'd be fun. We're joined by Pete Jensen, fantasy hockey analyst, senior fantasy editor at NHL.com. We're sort of just going to spin the wheel of topics. Where did you have Jacob Markstrom ranked at the beginning of the year, and where is the Calgary Flames goalie ranked now?
I mean, it's a tough topic. I'll be honest. We had him definitely in the top 10 fantasy goalies, maybe even the fringe top five in some of our mock drafts. And just because he was such a workhorse last year, but it's crazy. He's really gotten outperformed by his still rookie eligible teammate, Dan Vladar, up in Calgary. The offense is deep in Calgary, but a lot of guys from Huberto to Uyghur have not lived up to high expectations. So maybe just with all that offensive, you know, that off-season movement and the trade and losing guys but also gaining guys back, I think a lot of people, including myself, got caught up in a little bit of the momentum. And Calgary's a fringe playoff team right now. I don't even know for sure that they're going to get in. So It's one of those things where if you have Markstrom, you try to exercise patience because he's still getting like two-thirds of the starts this season for Calgary compared to Vladar, who I said has slightly outperformed him. So someone was asking me today, you know, should I drop Markstrom? If you drafted him in your first five rounds, you probably got to just bite the bullet and hope he continues to improve over the course of the season. I know Calgary's schedule is a little bit more favorable in the second half compared to the first half, so maybe that could work in his favor. What a great example with Jack Campbell, how he struggled earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Now he's been on a great winning streak over the past month or so and quietly rising the ranks back into the top 15 goalies. So maybe that could happen with Markstrom again down the stretch.
You know, it's funny. I wasn't even thinking about asking you this, but going into this year, the conversation with the Maple Leafs was, they don't really care about goalies. You know, they weren't going to give the money to Campbell, and they're going to take some chances on Matt Murray and Samsonov, and we all wondered about it. And for the most part, especially Samsonov, has lived well above the billing, and Schalgren's done the job when he's come in. And it's sort of gotten into this conversation about the volatility of goalies. And that really, unless you got one of a couple guys, everyone else is sort of in the middle. For you, Pete, from a fantasy standpoint, going into a draft, how do you view where and when you draft goalies in terms of how many are actual sure things versus how many are a gamble year in and year out?
Well, I think some of those, you know, the Russian goalies are very reliable, whether it's Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Sorokin. Jake Ottinger, I think, will continue to be a highly sought-after goalie in fantasy in the years to come. He's still pretty young, and he'll deliver for you, especially with Dallas's young core. But after that, when you get into the Markstroms and the Campbells and the Freddie Andersons and guys like that, and Hellebuyck, I should give him some credit. He's been pretty reliable year to year with his high start volume and Saros as well. But after those, you know, five, six, seven guys, it's really just there's so much volatility, like you said, so many changes to the rankings week to week. I was really high on Jeremy Swayman as well in the preseason, and my goodness, what a full-fledged breakout from Linus Allmark. Nobody could have ever seen that coming, especially after he had a poor postseason last year. So that's really a perfect example. Allmark is better than any of those guys that I just mentioned this season. The clear number one, clear Vezina front runner for the best team in the NHL. And I don't think anybody was drafting that guy inside the top 75 overall in preseason drafts. So that's really the best example you could ever have.
Well, let's stay on the theme of didn't see that coming. In September, did you think Erik Karlsson would be the number one defenseman in the NHL?
No way, and I don't think anybody did either. But I did say in the offseason that he would benefit from potentially from Brent Burns being traded away and having power play one to himself in San Jose. And they do have some weapons, of course, with Timo Meier and Hurdle and Couture. And yeah, I never would have seen this coming though, because I would have said with pretty confidently in the preseason that the Sharks were not going to make the playoffs. But Karlsson has been on a torrid point pace. He looks even better than he did earlier in his career, which is amazing. I know he's getting up there in age, but he still has a lot to offer, and it puts the Sharks in a really tough spot, like in terms of either having to re-sign Meier. I know they gave a lot to Hurdle a year or two ago. Karlsson's locked up for a while, so they are either going to trade away Meier and, you know, sink even further in the standings and maybe be in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, or they're going to try to, you know, continue, maybe still win the lottery, you never know, and build around Meier and Karlsson. But the problem with the Sharks is that they're just not finding enough traction on both ends of the ice to compete for a playoff spot, which is disappointing for them, considering where they were like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. California used to be, you know, dominant between the Sharks and the Ducks and the Kings. And, you know, Certainly not the same case now. Pete, before I let you go, and again, a director, senior fantasy editor at NHL.com, the trade deadline is a couple of weeks away now. For you, from the fantasy standpoint, what trades or storylines interest you the most?
I definitely think, like, the Edmonton Oilers are, like, a piece away from contending for the Stanley Cup, so wonder if they could get in on Erik Karlsson. Wonder if they could get in on Jacob Chychrun. Their forward group is loaded as is, with full-fledged breakouts from Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman this year, and now Kane is back healthy. So really curious to see what they do. And then, of course, with Timo Meier and Patrick Kane, just wherever those guys go, if they are traded, could definitely alter the Stanley Cup futures market and the fantasy rankings. So just like the Tarasenko trade did, right? Like, how much more favorably do you look at Panarin now that he has Tarasenko in that forward group with their chemistry and stuff like that? So there's going to be a lot of movement. Definitely check out NHL.com/fantasy for our up-to-date rankings and the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, which we drop three days a week. So we'll be all over it and looking forward to covering it along the way. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter, at NHL Jensen. Very easy Twitter account to remember. All the best, and enjoy the lead-up to the trade deadline and all the Patrick Kane speculation that will happen tonight with the Leafs being favored by -610 over the Blackhawks.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, take care. That is Pete Jensen. All right. On the other side of the show, we do it each and every Wednesday. We got This or That, where my producer will ask me a series of questions. I can only choose one or the other. Yes, I know, it is a very different way of covering sports, but we here at Gameplay, we're all about pushing the envelope. And then at 3 o'clock, Bill Webb's going to join us, president, owner, and general partner of the Toronto Arrows, the professional rugby team, the only one that is playing how's the best way to put it? I was going to say, like, we'll take part in the Major League Rugby season, which is getting started very, very soon. And they got a really cool campaign that they are taking a part in. So we will do that in the next 20 minutes. I'm Matthew Kaws. You're listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. It looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
All right, now I gotta ask. By the way, if you want to play the Beatles, I'm all for it. The only bad thing here is I don't want my voice coming in when I am listening to that gorgeous tune. This is TSN 1050 Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Kaws. Producer Josh, just random song generated, something you wanted to hear. Is it tied into something? What's going on?
No tie-ins.
That's fine.
We were on
That's
the
great.
Topic of retro music yesterday, and I thought I'd get into a little bit more of the docket and go a little further.
What do we got in the Stones? What do we got Rolling Stones related?
I think we got a couple, okay. A couple here that we can work with.
All right, all right. I'd like something from Exile on Main Street, if we can, or a little Let It Bleed. But you know what? We'll chat about that in a second. Have you been seeing the footage of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade?
I have. It has been ruckus.
Like, some people can pull off, they're drunk, but they don't look drunk. I thought Marc Gasol did a really good job of that back when the Raptors won the championship. Now, part of that was one of the greatest moments of teammates helping teammates was when the rest of the Raptors decided, Mark, you're not going to talk during the celebration. Like when we get there to the middle of town and then we're having the celebration, we're all taking the mic. Sit this one out. So I'm looking at a video from 1:42. I don't know if that's Eastern, because this is in KC, so this might be, you know, a couple hours old. But it's, yeah, like this wasn't even 12 o'clock, and Patrick Mahomes looks drunk. Like, in every picture of him, he's just crushing beers. I think it's Coors Light looking at, because I can see silver on it. So it's got that sort of, you know, the Rocky, the cool, crisp Rocky Mountain beer. But Mahomes looks real drunk. Like, do you think he's going to remember the speeches and the final half an hour of the celebration?
Half of those athletes and those players probably don't remember the moments of when they get up on that stage. Mm-hmm. They're probably 6-7 beers deep, maybe even more, because they're pounding back. Because you got to think of it. There was fans in KC this morning at 6 a.m. that were putting their chairs up and getting ready for the views of KC to run right through. And then you can see the thousands of people, sea of red, just to see Patrick Mahomes and the guys on the bus. And there, did you see the pictures? There's a bunch. There's Travis Kelce posting with his mom,
yep,
which looks great there.
Oh, yeah.
There's some photos with zero sacks. It looks like the Chiefs line's making a statement.
Yes, yeah, the Chiefs offensive lineman had T-shirts made that say zero sacks. Of course, not very good quality. It looks like someone just took a marker and just did a giant zero and put sacks underneath
it. They probably don't even care. They're just enjoying the vibes after winning the Super Bowl.
I want to know how many handlers are around Patrick Mahomes right now, just keeping him from not falling off the top of the double-decker bus. Because you better have a team of Kansas City Chiefs staff members keeping this man upright.
Oh, did you see him holding the MVP trophy? Mm. It looks like he's going to throw it into the audience, and into the crowd, and he's just having a good time. So we'll put this on our radar throughout the afternoon. So
yeah.
See if we can get some audio in, because that would be preferable.
I'm just waiting for, like, oh, God, and Mahomes has fallen off. He's fallen off the bus. He's in the crowd right now.
Please, no. That would not be good. Lombardi looks good in their hands, though.
Nothing will beat Tom Brady drunk on a boat throwing the Lombardi trophy to, like, Gronk on another boat. Like, that to me is the top level. Even more than goofy dancing or Chicago Blackhawks goalie swearing was Brady throwing the Lombardi trophy.
And then his little daughter right there, right beside him, said, no, no, Dad, what are you doing?
Quiet, Dad. Dad knows what he's doing.
Or when Jason Kelce in the Philadelphia Eagles won, he went on a huge rant / song. That was another all-time parade moment. There's been so many. And it already looks like it's early in the day in KC, but there might be some moments to take from this one.
Oof. If there's a ride program, they're gonna bring in a
they're
lot.
They're in trouble.
They are in trouble. All right, we do it each and every Wednesday. It is time now for This or That.
Homer, please don't make me choose between my man and my God, because you just can't win.
Here you go again. Always taking someone else's side. Flanders, the water department, God.
All right. What do you got there, producer Josh?
Well, Maddie, here we go. Another edition of This or That on this Wednesday. Coming up in a couple of hours on Overdrive at around 5:05, Carlo Koliakovo will join the show and tee up tonight's Maple Leafs and Blackhawks broadcast. But the intriguing part was on First Up yesterday.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that Patrick Kane, if he were to accept a trade, if he were to take a trade, his two top choices were the New York Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this brings up the conversation. If, from a perspective of a Maple Leafs fan,
yeah,
if you had to take one, would it be Patrick Kane or Timo Meier? Both players who the Maple Leafs are reportedly interested in.
The difference here is if it's just about the player, if it's strictly just about the player, you would take Timo Meier. He's a better player right now. He's more productive. He's younger. But he's going to cost you a lot more to get him. So then the other side is, do you take Patrick Kane because you won't have to, you know, you're not going to have to pay up as much to get him? I think I still go Timo Meier. I go Timo Meier. Kane is really bad defensively. I go Timo Meier, even knowing what you are going to have to give up, what sort of assets, draft picks, things like that. My Lord, as I said before, this team, they're 2 years away from maybe sinking back to, you know, going back to the mushy middle or the pain stage. So, no, go make a move now.
They probably could. It would honestly depend on the contract situation, because both require a ton of money. And the amount of assets that they'd have to go through is probably troubling if it comes to the Maple Leafs. So, yes, the start right now is what you want in Timo Meier, Patrick Kane. But for the long-term future, and when it comes to paying guys such as William Nylander, what's the aspect?
Yeah, well, the problem there is Timo's going to be a RFA. He's going to be needing one of those like $8-9 million deals. Matthews, Riley, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, they already have about 60% of the cap. If you bring in Timo and you don't lose a Nylander or you don't trade one of those guys, your bottom six is going to be Alex Steeves, Pontus Holmberg, Bobby McCann, Zach Austin-Reese, Joey Anderson. Put it this way, if you bring in Timo and then you re-sign him, your best bottom six forward is David Kampf, and it's not even close.
That would be the troubling part.
That would be.
So the amount of aspects you have to give up and assets that you have to give up, pretty troubling for the Maple Leafs. We'll see what they do come March 3rd. Staying. Actually, let's shift over to the NFL. All here. Right. Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Released from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes.
And there's already been some teams that are interested in him, such as the like, the New York Jets, the Tennessee Titans, the New Orleans Saints, all teams that are in tricky situations for quarterbacks right now, Maddie. So out of these two teams, if you were Derek Carr, who are you choosing? The New York Jets or the New Orleans Saints?
If I'm Derek Carr, I go to the Saints because the top quarterback is Jalen Hurts, and there's just not as much quarterback competition. Saints, they had a chance of actually winning that horrible division. You go to New Orleans, you got a chance of winning the NFC South. Tampa Bay, what's it, Kyle Trask, Carolina, it'll be a rookie. And Atlanta, it's going to be Desmond Ridder. I would go to the New Orleans Saints. The only thing you got to figure out there is the Saints, more than any other team, is in true salary cap hell. So I don't know what the other ramifications would be on that roster. But if I'm Derek Carr, I'm taking the Saints.
You're taking the Saints, but there's some awesome wideouts. Uh-huh. On that New York Jets team that are just getting better. Garrett Wilson.
You're also
offensive rookie of the year.
Yep. You also got Buffalo. You got Miami with maybe a healthy Tua. The Patriots actually had a better scoring differential than the Dolphins did last year. So I'm going the easier road, I think, is the Saints.
The battle of the Titans in the NBA tonight. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh,
Jokic a plus 115 on FanDuel to win the MVP. Doncic a plus 440. And I'm going to pose a long-term question to you, Matty.
All right.
I was thinking while about this. Who is going to have more accolades, meaning MVPs, All-Stars, Player of the Week awards in the next 5 years? Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic?
It has to be Jokic. It's got to be. He's doing things no one else does, but because he doesn't have a shoe brand, because English isn't his first language, and by that I just mean it's easier, like in any country of the world, it's easier to be embraced if you're from the area, which is not meant to be prejudiced or xenophobic or anything like that, but it just means as from a marketing standpoint, it's a bit of a hurdle. Eventually, guys like Dirk Nowitzki and Giannis Antetokounmpo, they were able to overcome it, but those guys also won championships. So to me, it is Jokic is going to win a lot more stuff. I think Luka Doncic is going to get more. I think he'll get more money. I think he'll get more shoe deals. I think he'll get more advertising. But part of that's also because he's into that more. Jokic is just this very quiet, private person playing in a small media market who has no desire to become a big star. But when it's just about on the court, it's Nikola Jokic. He's incredible.
You can put the scoring towards Doncic, the defense towards Jokic. All around skill, it's really hard to pick one.
By the way, Jokic would score as much as Luka if he chose to. You know, how many nights is he like, you know what? I'm going to take 14 shots. I'm going to make 12. I've got a triple-double. I got 14 rebounds and 12 assists. By the way, we'll talk about it later. I like the overs for Jokic tonight. No Jamal Murray, no Aaron Gordon. Mavs Nuggets. That's a good basketball game. Maybe we'll get into that at 3:15. But coming up on the other side, I'm looking forward to hearing all about the Toronto Arrows, Canada's first and only professional rugby union team, and they got a really cool sort of relationship, partnership that they are starting with the kickoff of the Major League Rugby season. We'll talk about that next right here on Gameplay.
This hour of Gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.